The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away. But because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and next month, always to bring you the facts on all the important stories. I'm WSHU senior political reporter, Ebong Udama. We're your source for trusted news. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Connecticut incumbent Democrats are far outspending their challengers in congressional races this year. Former Congressman Lee Zeldin urges Long Islanders to vote no on New York's Equal Rights Amendment. Plus, a new program is helping veterans run for office. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Led by U.S. Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut's incumbent Democrats are significantly out-fundraising and outspending their Republican challengers in congressional races this year. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Open Secrets, the Washington, D.C.-based nonpartisan organization that tracks political money, reports that as of September 30th, Murphy had raised more than $14 million and had $8 million on hand, while his opponent, Republican Matt Curry, had raised only $152,000. Paul Hansen is a UConn political scientist. He says he's not surprised.
The best challenger is a politician, and running against a strong incumbent, you know, could be the death of your political career if you get wiped out. So you often get someone who's not a top tier candidate, and that candidate who's not top tier has difficulty raising money. And I think that's probably what's happening in the Connecticut Senate race.
He says that's also the case in the House races, except for the 5th congressional district, where incumbent Democrat Yahanna Hayes is in a rematch with Republican George Logan, who she narrowly defeated 2 years ago.
It's the only one in the state that's even close to having any kind of competition, so that's the explanation there.
In that race, Hayes had raised $3.5 million by September 30th, compared to $2.2 million raised by Logan. It's the only race in the state that has attracted national campaign money. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The cap on state and local tax deductions, known as SALT, has hurt Long Islanders who have high incomes and expansive property values. That's according to an investigation by Newsday. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Upper middle class and wealthy New Yorkers used to rely on SALT deductions to lower their federal tax payments. But the Trump administration set a $10,000 cap on SALT deductions starting in 2018 as part of a tax overhaul bill. The Newsday analysis found almost every other state benefited from the overhaul through increases to the child tax credit and other changes. But New York and California were dead last when comparing effective tax rates. Restoring SALT deductions is a central issue in the run-up to this year's elections. The cap is set to expire in 2025. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A New Haven child care center has turned an old movie theater into a daycare. WSHU's Molly Ingram visited the new site today.
Friends Center for Children cares for hundreds of kids at multiple locations across New Haven. Their newest location is the old movie theater on Flint Street. It will have space for 80 infants and toddlers when it's finished. Right now, there's room for 32. Executive Director Alex Chavone says repurposing existing space is an unconventional way to deal with not having enough early childhood education spots in the city.
Since 2000, we have been building a model for what child care could be. We do this work in a broken, racist, and sexist system that is fiscally designed for failure.
Friends Center also provides free housing for 8 of its educators and their families through a partnership with Yale University's architecture program. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The number of military veterans who run for elected office has dwindled over the last few decades. That story and more are coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group, HartfordHealthcare.org.
Former Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin is urging New Yorkers to vote no on the Equal Rights Amendment this November. The ballot proposal, also known as Prop 1, would amend the state constitution to prevent discrimination based on sex, gender expression, pregnancy outcomes, and more. Zeldin said at a rally this week that the amendment is an attack on traditional gender roles and women's rights.
There shouldn't be a protected right in New York for boys to be able to compete in girls' sports. I agree with those concerned parents.
Supporters of the amendment say it'll ensure equal access to reproductive health care. Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz will make an appearance at a fundraiser in Greenwich this weekend. He's raising money for nominee Kamala Harris on Sunday at a $1,000 a plate dinner. That's $1,000 at the cheapest. More exclusive tickets run up to $100,000. The Minnesota governor will appear alongside fellow governor Ned Lamont, who recommended Harris nominate Walz when she took over the campaign from President Joe Biden back in August. The FBI says Connecticut's violent crime rate in 2022 was higher than the state originally reported. FBI numbers show about 6,500 people in the state were victims of violent crime that year, more than 1,000 more than Connecticut officials reported at the time. That includes crimes like murder, rape, and assault. A judge ruled that a West Hempstead resident can sue the town over its school bus ticket program. State law allows school bus cameras to record drivers who pass the stopped buses when they're picking up or dropping off students. The lawsuit says the town is ticketing people even without video evidence. The number of military veterans who run for elected office has dwindled since the end of the Vietnam War. The decline coincides with fewer Americans enlisting and the military's evolution to an all-volunteer force. A program at Syracuse University is trying to change that by teaching veterans how to run, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
On his website and in a recent campaign ad, Republican Congressman Nick LaLota from New York touts his military record right out of the gate.
After the Navy, I came home to marry my high school sweetheart and start a family. We've learned compromise is critical. Congress is no different. I'm Nick LaLota.
He's running for re-election in New York's 1st congressional district on Eastern Long Island. LaLota even mentioned his veteran status at a news conference last month about sewer infrastructure.
I want to pass the mic to my good friend, Ed Smith, a fellow veteran, a Marine, like my brother.
Later, the first-term congressman explained that veterans can make great public servants because the military teaches self-sacrifice.
They are able to put their state or their country before themselves. That's what their training was in the military. That certainly was my training, that you put your ship and your shipmate before yourself. And the more time one has in that culture, that selfless culture, that pride in country culture, I think the more successful that individual can be in serving government, whether it's an appointed role or an elected role.
In the eras of World War II and Vietnam, military service was a common resume line for candidates. In 1973, about 75% of Congress had served. But as the military evolved into an all-volunteer force, that number has dwindled to one-third. Syracuse University is trying to change that with a program that gets veterans ready to run for office. Stephen Lux is with the Veterans Program for Politics and Civic Engagement.
Folks that are in the U.S. military are some of the most highly trained, capable people in the world. I mean, the amount of money that we invest appropriately, I would argue, in our military, you still want it to go to waste in a way. So if they have the passion and inclination, then let's just give them a little bit more training so they can participate in public life.
Over the course of about 10 weeks, veterans learn about how campaigns work, how to fundraise, and ways they can translate their military service into public service.
The idea is to take the mystery out of what it takes to run for office.
Lux says some veterans are naturally suited to elected office. In Congress, they offer unique perspectives on issues like public safety, national security, and veterans benefits. But often, they come to the program very green politically.
Step number one, actually, is figuring out what party you're in. A lot of the military folks walk in the door and they say, well, I'm really more of a moderate. I'd like to be an independent. It's a very hard thing to do to run as an independent.
The Syracuse program has graduated about 250 candidates since its inception 5 years ago. As for Long Island Congressman Nick LaLota, he says his Navy service is a signal to voters about his priorities.
So I do rely upon my service to tell voters, especially those who don't know me, who I am and what I'm about, not only in a rear-view, mirror-looking way of what I have done, but more importantly, a forward-looking view on how they can predict what I would do.
LaLota's Democratic challenger is former CNN anchor John Avlon, whose campaign didn't respond to a request for comment. But Avlon has said that no matter LaLota's history, he's too extreme to stay in office. The Military Times has counted 176 veterans now running for Congress. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, you can listen to us on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you'd like to share with us, please feel free to send us an email. It's news at WSHU.org. And speaking of getting in touch with us, are you tired of political spin and misinformation during election season? Take control of the conversation by telling us what issues matter most to you. We are committed to covering elections your way this year. So visit our website. Again, that's WSHU.org. On the homepage, scroll down just a little bit, click on the elections banner, and there's a quick and easy form you can fill out there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day and a wonderful weekend. I will talk to you on Monday.